Turn to 2 Peter again. This time the third chapter. We're not going to be looking at war. We're going to look at man's futility and fickleness. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking to them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We're grateful to thee, our Heavenly Father, for showing us the truths of thy word. We thank thee for thy word itself. We just ask you to open our eyes to what we lack. Forgive us of our lack of faith and strengthen our faith, we pray. Forgive us of our unbelief and our sins against thee. We plead thy great mercy that endureth forever. We pray again for our loved ones that are not in our midst, children and family members. Grant them repentance that are lost. Keep your protective hands upon them as well as our pastor and his family. Guide us as a church in the way of truth. We pray for our country that you'd have mercy upon it. Open our eyes and ears and hearts now, we pray. Grant me the words to speak and the ability to speak. For it's in Christ's name, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask these things and amen. Man, by nature, can be fickle. That means he can change his mind. Wishy-washy. Peter wrote in verse 16 of the first chapter of 2 Peter, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." When Christ took them up to the Mount of Transfiguration, as it's called, they seen Christ in his glory. I'm sure that left a great impression upon him, as it did Moses. Far beyond our comprehension. We couldn't see it in the eyes of the flesh. Man cannot look upon God. But the point is Peter's saying, this is not some fairy tale. This is real. I guess we need to gird up the loins of our mind from time to time and take a look at the real truth. Peter understood well how one could be on top of the world like he would have been when he witnessed Christ's glorification there on the Mount of, what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, consider the swing in Peter was on the mountaintop 1 minute and down in the valley the next. Verse 18 of Matthew chapter 16. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, of course Christ was the rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. They've been looking for the Messiah. Here he is. But don't tell nobody. From that time forth, began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Peter understood how you could be on the mountaintop 1 minute and down, way down in the valley the next. He understood well how you could be cast down. Cast down is an old rancher's term. An animal, most notoriously the sheep or the lamb, they get comfortable on the ground lying in a indention or a little hole. Couldn't get up. And that's the whole idea. Man can be on top of the world 1 minute and cast down the next. You can easily fall from your own steadfastness. We can be unstable. The idea of instability is the idea of a soldier not being able to stand their ground. Or to be steadfast, which is a firm condition of the mind. In the book of Nehemiah, turn over there, we're going to look at a few passages in Nehemiah. Nehemiah himself was going well. He worked hard. And then, on a turn of a dime, you might call it, things went sour. I'll find it in a minute. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 43. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. Now, leading up to this time, they'd been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. Then they came back. Cyrus was foretold to bring them back to their homeland, rebuild the temple, rebuild the city wall. They done it quickly, with much adversity. Things were going well. And at that time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasures and for the offerings and the first fruits and the tithes, to gather unto them out of the fields of the city the portions of the law. For the priests and the Levites, for Judah rejoiced, for the priests and the Levites that waited. And both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God and the ward of purification according to the commandment of David and of Solomon his son. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. And all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah gave the portions of the singers and the porters every day his portion. And they sanctified holy things unto the Levites, and the Levites sanctified them unto all the children of Aaron. Things were going good. Chapter 13, verse 6. Long story short, Nehemiah is called back to being the king Artaxerxes' cupbearer. He gets back in verse 5, and they'd prepared him, as Tobiah, a great chamber, whereas he aforetime they laid the meat offering and the frankincense and the vessels. Now, Tobiah was not supposed to have been there, to say the least. And in one of the places where they laid the vessels, the tithes, the corn, the new wine, and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites and singers and porters. And, I mean, they were to sing and take care of the temple. They'd taken those things out and put this enemy in there. But in all this time, verse 6, was not I in Jerusalem? For in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I to the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king. And I came to Jerusalem and understood the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of the Lord. And it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense. And I perceived that the portion of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all the Judah the tithes, the corn, and the new wine, and the oil, and the treasuries. How did this happen so quickly? Verse 15 through 18. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing sheaves, and lading asses, also new wine, and grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah, and to them, what evil is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut, and charged that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set I at the gates, that there should be no burden brought into the Sabbath day. So the merchants and the sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more in the Sabbath. I can see in this why Christ will rule with a rod of iron. Man's nature, it's fickle. There in the book of Psalms, the second psalm tells us how Christ will rule. That verse 9 of Psalms 2, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. This is the effects of sin on man. He gets by with something one time. He thinks he's okay. I mean, we know full well from the book of Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter, because sentence, verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with him that fear God, which fear before him. But man, unless he's stopped, he'll turn quickly back into sin again. That's his nature. Still there in Nehemiah. Verse 23, in those days also I saw the Jews that had married wives of Ashdod and Ammon and Moab, They weren't to do that. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them and cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair and made them swear by God, saying, You shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take your daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin in these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him who was beloved of his God. And God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. That's man. How could Solomon, we read of Solomon worshiping idols. Are we that bad? I'm afraid we are. Do we know the God that we read about in this scripture? I mean, what we just read about Nehemiah doing to the children out there, plucking out their hair and cursing them, slapping them around. How would that be considered in today's society? The wicked can show themselves to be good. They can make a good show, so to speak. We must be careful, and for this you need to study the book of Proverbs as far as understanding human nature. Like I say, the wicked can show themselves to be good, make a good show, and have us, God's own people, even fool. When Nehemiah was away, they listened to the enemy. Beware. Second Peter, going back to our text, we can fall from our own steadfastness and fall quickly. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. We're not exempt from it. The worst of all criminals are wolves in sheep's clothing. They're out there on every corner. They might say, yes, I'm with you, but they're really still wolves in sheep's clothing. Knowing God's word and what to look for can make life much, much easier. This is why we should always consider what God's word says about something or something or someone before we make any bonds or decisions. We need to ask ourselves, are we walking with Christ, or are we contrary to God, or are we the wolves in sheep's clothing sometimes? Well, if we grow in grace and conform to the image of Christ, it'll be no problem. Peter tells us to grow. Dead things do not grow. If one's not growing in Christ, there none is. In our lives and our actions, we're, of course, being conformed into Christ's image, are to lead other people in that same direction. Are we leading people astray, or do we lead people to the Lord? Well, first we have to turn ourselves into the Lord. If we're not turned into the Lord, we're surely not going to turn anyone else to the Lord. Malachi chapter 2, verse 6. Well, verse 5. Speaking of Levi, it mentions actually in verse 4, ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Well, we ask ourselves, who's the priest? We are. In the book of Revelation. Chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, speaking of Christ, and to open the seals thereof. For thou was slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We see where the blood stands. By thy blood we are redeemed. We see that we are to be kings and priests. So this applies to us. There are some that say the priesthood is in the church. The priesthood is in the believer. Simple as that. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23 and verse 22. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from their evil doings. There were false prophets. There are false prophets today. We're to be priests to turn people away from iniquity. Verse 23, Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, even saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. Those that want to tell you that they're prophets in today's world, that's a big lie. When the canon at Scripture, as we know it, was completed, no more need for the prophets. The prophets speak of things that are to come to pass. God's Word tells us what's in the coming in the future, and it will come to pass. To grow in grace, one must stay in the Word of God. Growing in grace makes us kind, gives us the right heart, makes us Christ-like, long story short. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely as you have received, freely give. I can't do those things. Well, these could in that day and age because they were given that ability. When Peter was preacher was preaching yesterday, when Peter saw Christ walk on the water, Lord bid me come. And he walked on water for a little while till he saw the waves. The key to all of it, Christ had to give him permission. Christ said, come. Christ gave those apostles, I believe it's in the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes. Luke chapter 10, verse 4. Salute no man By the way, into whatsoever house thou enterest, say first, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn again. Tells him, basically, take what you're given. Verse 9, and heal the sick that are therein, and say to them, the kingdom of God is coming to you. They were given the permission. If Christ gives authority to do something, we may succeed. But until he gives that authority, none has it. If Christ gives us such power, we could. But he gave it to a select few. But God has freely imparted unto us grace, unmerited favor, his unmerited favor. And we should glorify this grace in our daily lives. Back to 2 Peter again. Chapter 3 again, verse 15 again. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. It's a long war. We looked this morning at war. That war that God's going to send, he tells us he's going to make a short work of it. But how long is our war on this earth? As long as our lives, natural lives, will be. It's a long war. And we may get weary. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. Verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, of course that's in Christ. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. They're going to try it. For though I be absent from you in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and your steadfastness as your faith in Christ. As ye therefore receive Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, establishing the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and deceit, after the traditions of men and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead, the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. That's the circumcision of the heart. Now, Brother Joe was talking about circumcision in the case of Abraham circumcising his family back in the book of Genesis. Circumcision is to glorify the one performing the act of circumcision, which is God in this case, who gives us a new heart. Now we are buried with him with Christ in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith in the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together, made alive with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. How does the world see us? What we just read here, that's what we are to be. Or does the world see us fickle? Sometimes right and good, and sometimes not so good. Do they see our faith in action? Or do they see the fickle old man. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Peter, as we looked at this morning in the morning message, he understood well how he can be so good one time. And give Peter the credit. He did walk on water, as I mentioned earlier. But everybody gives him a bad rap, as a preacher was pointing out yesterday. Maybe sometimes we like people like Peter because he reminds us so much of ourselves. Anyway, are we fickle? Or do we show our faith?